From beach towels to tea towels, and from mugs to water bottles, the TNT Shop has it all. Browse our shop now at tntradio.live. This is the Hervoy Moritz Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All righty, hour two for me. And by the way, check out my Geopolitics and Empire podcast. I just uploaded my latest chat with economic hitman John Perkins. That was my third chat with him in like 9 years. He was on my TNT show late last year. His new book is out, and we've got German Chancellor Scholz coming out and saying that there's no reasons for concern. German largest banks shares slump. He's like, everything's okay. And basically what that means is panic. Everything is not okay. So usually when, if everything was, you know, they say if everything was okay, he wouldn't need to come out and say that everything's okay. So, traditionally, that means the opposite. Like in Mexico, we've had so many economic crises. I think it was in the 70s or 80s, the Mexican president came out and said, everything's fine. We're not going to devalue the Mexican peso. And surely enough, literally like the next day or a few days later, they devalue the Mexican peso. So that's not a good sign. Beijing's population has fallen for the first time since 2003. China's capital reported 43,000 fewer residents in 2022 compared to 2021 as deaths outnumbered births. So the demographic crisis has reached China's capital city. So that's an issue. You know, combined with the mRNA shots, the lockdowns, the people fleeing China for America, as we're seeing on the Mexico-US border. Yesterday, we were talking about that. Well, purportedly, these Chinese were fleeing COVID zero. They could be Chinese spies. We don't know. Honestly, we don't know. Who knows? I'm getting miffed with some of these people who are thinking, like, who are now 200% pro-China and anti-Western. It's like, no, they're all mafia states. And given the opportunity, I'm sure China would attack the U.S., in whatever way, whether economically or militarily. So yeah, I'm not jumping on that train either. But again, just highlighting the multipolarity. Spanish leader to discuss Ukraine war on Xi visit. Pedro Sanchez's visit to China adds momentum to Beijing's efforts to cast itself as a mediator in the conflict that's going on next week. Spanish Prime Minister headed over to Beijing to talk about, you know, peace in Ukraine, as well as, I'm sure, other things. Spain is going to assume the rotating six-month EU presidency this July. There's that. And then Iran's finance minister trumpets surge in investment from Russia. Russia has become the largest foreign investor in Iran just over the past year. As the two heavily sanctioned nations have stepped up cooperation, they say that what are the numbers? But again, that's just another sign how the rest of the world is getting on without us. Russia accounted for 2/3 of the total FDI, foreign direct investment, of about $4.2 billion in Iran this financial year. So again, the kings of the East are coming together. The United States will send aging A-10 attack planes to swap for more advanced combat aircraft in the Middle East as part of a Pentagon effort to shift more modern fighters to the Pacific and Europe to deter China and Russia. It just goes on the heels of the chat I was having with Jose, that it seems like they're just completely moving out of the Middle East, leaving Afghanistan, about to get kicked out of Syria, and they're repositioning to the Indo-Pacific and Asia, and I guess shoring up on Europe. So it's like a game of risk, basically. The Anglosphere has lost Middle East. They're reshoring positions to Europe and the Indo-Pacific. So that is fascinating. And this was an important story. I mean, we got to look at stuff like this, where the cost estimates for repairs to the HMS Prince of Wales aircraft carrier is absolutely insane. And I think this is important. This shows that the cost now of keeping up the Western, you know, British militaries, American militaries, these aircraft carriers, just the cost to build them and to repair them is insane. And then when you compare it into Russia and China, they can do the same for much, much cheaper. And so, you know, my thought was, it's going to be super expensive to fight World War III for the West versus Russia and China. They just get much more bang for their buck, especially when it comes to purchasing power, parity. And so people don't look that. I've talked about this with Dmitry Orlov many years back in my interviews with him. He's pointed this out. So it doesn't matter that the American Pentagon budget is almost a trillion versus the smaller amount for the Russians or Chinese. They can do a lot with that versus, you know, I mean, just look at the quantity. China's got the biggest Navy. They don't have a $1 trillion defense budget, but they've got the biggest Navy. So there you go. I mean, that's a perfect example. There was another story about a Christian who escaped Chinese persecution and warning that the U.S. is descending into communist style of governance. I saw that 20 years ago, and I would agree with him. A reminder to download the TNT Radio smartphone app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store, so you can easily listen live to us anywhere, anytime on your surveillance device. Get it now and stay up to speed on TNT Radio.
The latest headlines.
Politics are getting out of control.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Activist lawyers have signed a declaration of conscience stating they will not prosecute groups like Extinction Rebellion, XR, and Just Stop Oil, saying that current laws cause climate injustice. Here with the full enchilada, plant-based enchilada, joining me once again is TNT Radio news producer Adam Ruckus-Clark.
Good one. Thanks, everybody. So I guess yesterday, Thursday, a group called Lawyers Are Responsible. Let that sink in for a minute. They published a declaration of conscience in which they say they will refuse to act for new fossil fuel projects or to prosecute members of campaign groups opposing new fossil fuel projects, such as Extinction Rebellion, Insulate Britain, and everybody's favorite, Just Stop Gluing Yourself to Everything. I mean, Just Stop Oil. Climate group Just Stop Oil stages disruptive protests and uses a deliberate law-breaking strategy in an attempt to highlight its call for the UK government to begin the process of winding down fossil fuel production in the country. According to Twitter, Lawyers Are Responsible says it is a group of, quote, conscientious lawyers who respect the long-standing rules of our profession. However, we also accept the global scientific consensus that climate change is already causing damage and will cause unprecedented levels of damage, end quote. Wow. To date, the 120 signatories are a mix of barristers, solicitors, academics, and others, though it is not clear how many of the barristers listed handle prosecution work. Those that have signed include Sir Geoffrey Bindman, chair of the British Institute of Human Rights, Farana Yamin, an international environmental lawyer, and one of the architects of the Paris Agreement on Climate Change. That's right, none other than Imran Khan, the solicitor who represented the family of Stephen Lawrence, as well as Julian Maugham, founder of the Good Law Project, and Professor Leslie Thomas, Gresham Professor of Law and board member of the Bar Standards Board. Woo! If you don't know how half those people are, don't worry, neither do I. The group wrote, quote, the signatories to the declaration are convinced that at the present time, offering their services in support of new fossil fuel projects or action against peaceful climate protesters would not serve the greater good. It added, quote, at present, our laws cause climate injustice and set society on a course with consequences so dire that they ultimately threaten the rule of law itself. By taking on these types of cases, the signatories are of the view that they would be personally facilitating these consequences, end quote. The group said that there, quote, is an important discussion to be had about the role of the legal profession at a time when the IPCC has delivered a, quote unquote, final warning on the climate crisis, end quote. Wow. I don't understand English law very much, but it's kind of similar to out here. So this is pretty wild to me. What do you think about this, Harari?
I mean, it's just setting the stage for the dystopia to come. I mean, this is insane. I can't believe so many people are brainwashed into this. Like, I sometimes just stop and wonder, like, people really believe this? We're going back thousands of years to a pagan earth worship. I can't believe it. I mean, climate, there are environmental problems, but I don't think it's really that existential, and I don't think it justifies bringing in totalitarianism. And first they let these groups run crazy, just stop oil and XR, and then they were using that as a pretext to bring in these draconian laws restricting democracy and free speech. We saw that a couple months back. Now they won't even be prosecuted. Well, what comes next is they're going to make laws where it's you've committed a climate transgression. You threw away too much garbage, or you took too much water, and so you go to jail, for climate transgressions. And then comes the whole carbon social credit system. Banks are already in apps, banking apps, you're already seeing appear the quantification of your energy use. And then it's all just permeating in all aspects of society. I mean, here in Mexico, you don't get any more plastic. It's pretty crazy. Like, you don't get plastic bags anymore. You go to the supermarket. So you have to actually plan stuff now. So I bought this like box to put my groceries in. But if I just happen to decide spontaneously to go to the supermarket while I'm out, you imagine filling up your shopping cart, and then you got to put the like 500 items one by one into your trunk with no bag, nothing. And so, yeah, anyways, this is just moving to the green world order.
They don't even offer you the paper bags. That's what they did here when they banned the plastic bags. They did all that. They got rid of the plastic bags. It was so stupid. And then the pandemic hit, right? And then they went back to offering plastic bags again. And then they went to doing it again. After the pandemic ended, they want to ban the plastic bags again. So instead, they have these ones that are like bigger, thicker plastic bags that are supposedly you're supposed to reuse them or something like that. I'm like, it's the same difference. It's garbage. Correct me if I'm wrong, though. A lot of this language that I was reading there from this statement by these responsible lawyers, lawyers are responsible. It's very weird to say it like that. They're talking about things like serving the greater good. What that's hitting a nerve somewhere in my brain. Is that communism? What is that? Is that socialism?
Collectivism. I saw a great quote from one of my favorites, Michael O'Fallon. He quotes, I guess he's a philosophy professor, Stephen Hicks. I guess his book, Nietzsche and the Nazis. And the quote is, quote, as would be expected by the socialist part of National Socialism, the guiding principle of Nazi economics was that all property belongs to the people, the Volk, and was to be used only for the good of the people, just as one's body is no longer one's private possession, but rather belongs to the whole community. Economic property was no longer anyone's private possession, but to be used by state permission and only for the good of the people, end quote. So we clearly see with the biosecurity state, with this communist, fascist biosecurity state, technocratic, authoritarian, your body is no longer yours. The state now owns your body. They can inject you to their heart's desire. And same thing with these climate folks. Your job, your economics, your private property is no longer yours. It's collectivism. What can I say, Ruckus?
Well, then this is very confusing to me. I have a quick question then. If this is indeed this climate movement agenda crap is fascism, which clearly it is, does that mean that we're going to see like a full-on street brawl between Antifa and Just Stop Oil? Just curious.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool. No, interesting. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Although I think Just Stop Oil, is that based more in the UK? I'm not sure. So we'd have to ship off some Antifa to UK or vice versa. Let's ask Soros. But yeah, this is the world we're headed into, unfortunately. I don't see it slowing down, especially with all this ESG stuff, controlling businesses and corporations. It's not looking good. So anyways, I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Have a ruckus. If you're into meat, eat a lot of meat while you can, barbecue or not, before they take it away from us. And if anyone wants to call in, feel free. Happy to take your calls. I'll be right back.
TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
America is just about ready to be officially declared a banana republic. This is the kind of thing that goes on in third world nations. Right? I mean, this is absurd. The left takes it as a matter of an article of faith that Donald Trump's a criminal. So, Donald Trump's a criminal! They need to be done! Well, what are his crimes? He's a criminal! I mean, it's like talking to these morons from Idiocracy, right? 45% of this country believes that Donald Trump is a criminal. This is an article of faith. They don't know what his crimes are, but he's a criminal. He needs to be in jail. Meanwhile, this is nothing more than the most massive case of psychological projection ever. Hillary Clinton, multiple felon. I mean, we could recite them. We all know them. The bleach pit, the 33,000 emails, the destroying this, the private server, the destroying the hard drives and the Blackberries with a hammer, the everything, right? Multiple felonies. We've got Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, James Biden, Haley Biden, and now potentially the niece, multiple felonies, right on up to and including selling the office of the Vice President of the United States of America to China. But Donald Trump's a criminal is an article of faith.
The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Public school is the instituted agency of socialism throughout every community.
The U.S. government has no authority to have any role in education.
We're going to lose our very republic if we don't stop this indoctrination of children in government schools.
What happened to us in China can happen here.
Have one kind of education and then call it equity.
It's about outcomes. It's about trying to force us all to be equal.
I think we're going to have a race civil war in our hands.
We are exposing kids to pornography as early as kindergarten. Parents just don't know.
No, not anymore. Not anymore. Parents need to wake up. They don't have the interests of your child at heart.
Truth and Lies in American Education at salemnow.com.
We don't talk at you.
Blah, 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 blah.
Shut
blah.
Up! We talk with you.
What do you think of this idea?
Let me tell you this.
What's wrong with this picture?
From government overreach to the global pandemic, TNT Radio invites you to join us as we separate facts from fiction, truth from propaganda, day in, day out. Call the open line anytime. In the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. In the U.K., call 033-024-1026. And in Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech has a home on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And I'm joined by William Ramsey, attorney, author, and researcher and podcaster. He's written a number of books and produced a number of documentaries on the occult and the deep politics. His website is WilliamRamseyInvestigates.com. You'll also find there the links to his great podcast, which is growing. Welcome back to TNT, Bill.
Herboye, thanks for having me. It's great to be with you again.
Do people call you Bill or is it William?
William, whatever, Will. It's whatever you're comfortable with.
All right. I was listening to your latest podcast today, and I like how you switch it up. Sometimes you got guests, and when you don't got guests, you've got the bioweapons blues, and you were playing clips many which I've been familiar with. I mean, you're really on top of things. And, you know, just to start off, I mean, what's one thing that you're most freaked out about or most interested in right now that you're tracking? Is it still the COVID-1984 stuff or what's I mean, I've seen you posting fascinating stuff on the occult as well in on your Twitter feed.
There's a lot of strange things going on in the world, but I think that the bioweapon blues, once I realized that the poison shot was not a vaccine and they were actually really injuring and killing people, and it hasn't stopped. The trains to Auschwitz are still running and they haven't really slowed down. The public doesn't want to take up these shots anymore. They're not effective, they're not safe. But I think that the fact that there's been no reckoning, no accountability, and no real mea culpa from the people who perpetrated this mass global crime is very disturbing. Although there are rumblings in countries around the world, and I've really tried to follow that on my bioweapon news series. I think I posted episode 36 yesterday. So, and I still, there's still things to learn. So it's really an incredible global event. People have likened it to something that happened in Nuremberg or like a Holocaust, but it really is something that's really never happened in human history, this kind of concerted rollout of a toxic substance, unnecessary toxic substance, and the conquest of the media through censorship and claims of mis and disinformation really is unprecedented. So it's an incredible event, and millions have died, really. I mean, I was looking through kind of this Indian social media account, and people in India are dropping dead. And there's been estimates by Denis Rancor that at least 4 million people had died in India from the shot, not from COVID, but from the concentrated rollout. Well, it really was like a rollout by Modi, who's the prime minister there. There were two consecutive rollouts of three shots that a lot of people died from it. And people are still dropping dead. So it's, like I said, the trains to Auschwitz are still running. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a great way that you put it. For me, so far, I'm sad that, as you said, it just keeps, well, it seems like people have stopped taking the shots, right? So what we're seeing now are just the continued aftermath of all the people who had taken the shots. And one poignant part of your podcast was, and I saw the news, I forget his name, I think Andrew Breggin, the British
MP.
Politician. Yeah, MP. So his YouTube video got canceled. And then you were playing the clip where he was going to talk about this in, I think he was on TNT recently, I'm not sure, but where he was going to talk about this in the British Parliament. And just all of these disgusting politicians walked out. And for me, I was just, and I didn't want, I don't like watching videos like that because it really disgusts, it makes my stomach turn. I'm not exaggerating that. The disgust I have for those politicians that they walk out, in some ways, maybe their conscience can't handle being confronted with this. And even if that's what they truly believe, I mean, my disgust is like 200%. I can't handle watching that. It's just that I'm so repulsed by these human beings. What are your thoughts?
They're disgusting. They should sit there and listen. This guy's telling them important information. So I think Breggin has the courage. He said they attempted to bribe him from the prime minister's office. They offered him anything he wanted. So God bless him. He's got some spine and willing to stand up for his constituents against this tyranny. It's not just the rollout of the poison shot, but it's the the diminishing of our freedoms, with this bioweapon used as an excuse. So I think we're in a very difficult spot, but Breggin's one of the guys, and I think it's not much different here in the States, where there's very few people in Congress willing to kind of publicly address it. I can name on like one hand some of the politicians who are willing to talk about this stuff, whether it's Rand Paul or Johnson, but there's not many more. So they are actively denying these things when a lot of people have been injured. There was one lady from Congress who admitted that she got poisoned. So it's not just the total deaths. It's that many, many, many people have been injured. Millions and millions of people have been injured in the U.S. alone. But yeah, there it's a very serious issue. This is not going away. And it has to be resolved or to keep this from happening again. So it's a tough situation.
Yeah, we're speaking of not going away. We're going to have to go away for a minute for our headlines. We'll be right back.
TNT Radio News.
Huge news, 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 news.
This is James O'Neill with a check in today's headlines. EU Chief Ursula von der Leyen announced on Thursday her intention to organize a conference to ensure the return to their homeland of Ukrainian children taken to Russia during the military invasion. Dmitry Medvedev, a former Russian president now serving as deputy chairman of the country's Security Council, said on Thursday that any attempts to arrest President Vladimir Putin on the International Criminal Court's warrant of war crimes would be considered a declaration of war against the country.
We wear the PPE and wade through the muck so you don't have to. Never miss our thought-provoking take on the latest news and current affairs. Take TNT Radio wherever you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
We're back with William Ramsey of the, check out his website, WilliamRamseyInvestigates.com. He's got a great podcast that I listen to with he's got a lot of great guests as well, and I like how he just gets right into it. No nonsense, he gets right into it with the guests, just like I like to do. And bioweapons blues, that's what we're talking about. And someone should write a bioweapons blues song. I recently had on dissident musician Brad Borch. He could write one, or I've talked in the past to Brad Skistamas, Five Times August. He should write the bioweapons blues. But I just read that China unveiled their very first in-house mRNA vaccine. And even in Russia, someone posted a clip from mainstream Russian television, someone just dropping dead. Well, they didn't drop dead, they just collapsed. But it's just, yeah, as you say, it's ongoing. And I saw Children's Health Defense posting today that this weekend, they say COVID-19 lawsuits are projected to experience tremendous growth. And so they're having some sort of conference offering panel discussions, litigation strategies by attorneys engaged in COVID-19 litigation, including vaccine injury, censorship, education, employer mandates, and more. So on the one hand, that's good news. So it seems like there's going to be increasing litigation in the U.S., yes. I guess, the most. But, you know, one thing that came to my mind, because I'm thinking about like China, I don't think you're seeing any of this in China going on. So in one way, this is also tying up a lot of stuff in the U.S. So it's interesting. I don't think you're seeing this sort of stuff really anywhere else except the U.S. So, you know, and any further thoughts?
Well, I think that there was actually a notification in Italy that there may be criminal prosecution of some of the politicians there. So that is happening. So there are rumblings. There's actually a court case in Switzerland right now. It's a different kind of legal structure there where citizens can actually bring criminal cases instead of just a prosecutor. So there's something going on there. So those gears are turning. The U.S., I always tell people, if you're a personal injury attorney, this is the best kind of litigation to get into, because Pfizer and Moderna have tons of money. This is going to be like the tobacco litigation that happened back in the 90s. There's going to be massive payouts. A really sharp guy, Edward Dowd, who used to work for BlackRock, said that he thinks by 2026, Pfizer's net worth will be zero for all the crime and fraud. And they've been, in my mind, and what I've read, they've been engaged in fraud in their filings, corporate scientific filings, for decades. They've been busted by very clever, very sharp researchers lying in their documents, whether it's like, hey, this stuff doesn't reach the placenta, this doesn't go here. This was all lies. They're really snake oil salesmen. That's what I've likened them to. They just can convince people. Like Fauci. Fauci's a really good, skilled snake oil salesman, but he BS's all the time. So I would recommend, if you're a personal injury attorney, get involved in this. This is very lucrative. And that discovery will be very important, just for historical record, to get all the information. Some of the information they had to sue to get, like you mentioned, Children Health Defense, that when they sued the CDC, they got the information that the CDC knew with no doubt that these were causing harm, that the harm signals should have been activated, and they didn't. So Walensky, to me, is a walking criminal. She's the head of the CDC. There's a huge problems going on, and millions of people have been issued. I mean, there are very clever, smart guys who say that even the Bears, the way it's designed, is to ensure underreporting. So you have to take the Bears' injuries and increase them by a factor of 20 at least, which means that there's 20 million people in the U.S. alone who've been injured in one way or another by these shots. And there's probably people walking around who don't know they have subclinical myocarditis. So it is a catastrophe. So this litigation has to grind forward, and there's a lot of clever people working on things. So I hope that these attorneys have a lot of success. I really do.
You mentioned something earlier about diminishing freedom. So I always try to gauge where we are and then extrapolate to where we might be going. So we had the 3 years of the biosecurity state. For now, that seems to have dissipated. And right now, what we're dealing with is what you just outlined, the litigation, the fallout of the bioweapons shots, the disability plus deaths. That's what's going on right now. Apart from that, it seems for the most part, restrictions have been removed. I think foreigners still can't get into the U.S., unvaxxed, but supposedly in 2 months' time, they're going to remove that. But going forward, I almost have this feeling, I don't want to go there, but it's like, I feel like they could at any moment whip all this stuff out. I saw Peter Hotez tweeting 2 days ago saying they're working on these universal vaccine, universal flu shots, universal COVID shots, universal cancer shots, and he's preparing for the next pandemic. He's like, it's coming. He's so confident. So I'm worried about what's coming down the line. For now, it seems like they've relaxed everything. Where do you see the next diminishing of freedoms coming from?
Well, I hope that there aren't more. I think that they're going to try to really cover up their involvement in censorship and denying Americans their First Amendment right. I mean, it really is a huge scandal. These Twitter files that were released involving journalists, well-known journalists, Taibbi Schellenberger, very important because they denied people the ability to exercise their First Amendment rights, censorship by their own government, right? So it's coming from the Biden administration. So I hope there's no more of that. I think it's still happening. I was heavily censored, but I'm hoping that that whole censorship will go and Americans will show some spine and stand up for your constitutional rights, your First Amendment rights, your Bill of Rights, what makes you an American. And I think that that's probably why a lot of these politicians are a little hesitant to lay on with the heavy duty psychological operations, because people have woken up and there's a lot of good people out there telling the stories and getting people informed. I'm trying to do my part, but I hope they don't try to turn the screws. Like Gates is talking about another pandemic. You mentioned Hotez, is supposedly next in line. He's a pro shot person whose own child has some type of autism spectrum, and he wants to be in that position Fauci was in. So this is a very dangerous person. There's a lot of dangerous people in the American government right now. I mean, you have the head of health and services is an attorney. Like Becerra is not somebody who's experienced. He's a political apparatchik. So you got to really be careful who's making real decisions. It's definitely not Biden. He's not really lucid. But I think that they will probably try to roll, and I think they're trying to roll out more fear to try to get people to get rid of shot hesitancy and try to kill more people. I think they're really on the 2030 depop genocide agenda. So who knows what they'll do next. I think Gates has threatened to release or intimated he could release another more lethal thing. And he really owns the World Health Organization. He's like infiltrated that total regulatory and administrative capture by the Gates Foundation, which should scare everybody.
Yeah, the Hill posted yesterday a story about, I think it was like fungus, and they literally said like, it was an alarming headline, like something like, be afraid, there's some fungus now, it can spread. I'm like, give me a break, seriously, like, it's just, every day now. And then there was like Marburg virus in Tanzania. Be scared of this new fungus. I'm like, bring it on. I'll eat it. At this point, I don't care anymore. I'm not afraid of anything. And yeah, Gates notes yesterday, he just published an entire new piece on AI. And then last weekend, he did an op-ed for New York Times on let's put together this global tyrannical pandemic task force. And then that same weekend, Tedros, the terrorist of WHO, put out a video basically saying, give us world government. Nationalism is the problem. Sign these pandemic accords. We don't really want to take over nations. Just sign these pandemic accords. I mean, these people are, the masks are coming off. And I feel like they're on the cusp, though. They're on the cusp, no, of obtaining like real total global domination, no?
I think they're trying to. I think you're absolutely right. They're trying to push for it. It's really an issue of sovereignty. They would like to mischaracterize it as nationalism, but it's really the sovereignty of the individual to make them decisions for themselves, which were taken away definitely in the U.S. by their own government. So imagine somebody even farther away making decisions for us. And that's the last thing on earth any American would want. And we should resist that tooth and nail, no question. So these guys are lunatics. They are doubling down. They haven't said, Bill Gates did say that the vaccines weren't effective on the record after he was pushing for them. But like I said, that guy isn't even has any health experience either. He's just a huge investor making money off of murder. I mean, it's kind of like the what happened in the Holocaust. They killed all those people and then they took their money and their gold and anything of value they could take out of them. And it seems like that's kind of Gates's approach is, hey, we can make money and kill them at the same time. Let's do it.
Do you have any thoughts on, because I think this is also related, the Silicon Valley Bank going down, and it seems like they're using the same formula with COVID where they locked down to destroy the small independent middle class businesses to monopolize the Amazon's, the big players. And now they're doing that in the banking sector where it seems like Peter Thiel just pulls the plug on SVB. That collapses, leads to chain reaction, and then small banks don't get the support from the Fed, and then everyone flocks to big banks, and then that's how they can roll out the CBDCs. And you know, any thoughts on the digital currencies coming in?
Yeah, it's not a good idea. It's a takeaway of your sovereignty and liberty, and these are the last people on earth that you want to control your money are the people who are currently in this administration. But I've seen the banking wars that went by in 2008. It was a collapse, but actually the same kind of thing happened that Janet Yellen is saying now, which is certain firms got funds from the bailout funds from the government, and certain firms flopped over and died. So I think the same thing is going to happen, just like you said, where certain sympathetic or politically aligned firms will get support from the Fed, from the government, and certain will not. I mean, we're just at the beginning of this whole next financial crisis. So they will probably try to get people to take on this CBDC, and it's a terrible idea. It's a terrible idea. So we don't need that. We probably just need to go back to the gold standard. So these criminals and filth pigs can't just inflate us out of our savings and bankrupt the country. I would literally go to downtown LA and find a crackhead and put them at the head of the Fed. And they probably would be, I'm dead serious. I'm not exaggerating. They would probably be more efficient and more spendthrift than the people that are making the budget and making a decision about our financial affairs in DC. I'm not joking.
That'd make for a great podcast. You should go down to, what is it called, Skid Row or something, and interview a crackhead.
It's like Trading Places, right? That movie, Trading Places. I wouldn't be surprised. Like you could probably find some guy out there who's living on Skid Row, do a better job. Hey, can you balance these books? Oh, yeah. Why can't they balance it? I'm not joking. I mean, it sounds funny, but I'm really not joking.
Yeah, and maybe to get your thoughts, I see you tweeting about, is it Ed Sheeran? And I don't even want to watch the video. I mean, you were doing an entire thread on the occult nature of, we're switching gears now, kind of, but not really, because this, you know, it's these occult forces behind all of this. But it looks really nasty. Like he's this, it's all, everything Hollywood now, music and movie, it's all this like literally demonic, satanic, occult, bloody, you know, killing, violent stuff. And what's going on with this music video?
a lot. Like I had published my book, Global Death Cult 2021. I think it was April. And it would involve kind of the cult group, this called the Order of Nine Angles. And they had all kinds of weird ideas in there, and vampirism and like occult ideas, staring up at the sky, and these kind of rituals that I hadn't seen before. I've read Crowley and some of these other characters. So I was familiar with that. And then somebody said, in the Smiley Face, I've done two studies on the Smiley Face Killers, two documentaries. So I'm familiar with the Smiley Face associated with the disappearance and death of young men at night. And so then somebody brought to my attention this video, and I was like, wow, it's not overt, but it looks like they're playing out this kind of evening, nighttime, exiatic, what they would call it, kind of a display of vampirism. And so I broke it down on my Twitter. So you can check that out. People have been looking at it and commenting on it. But yeah, it's super occult. And his ties are very interesting. He has ties to occult groups. One is called Bring Me the Horizon. So like they're, asleep or it's dark all night, and then the horizon shines up in the morning, kind of like that. And the weird connections to like Elon Musk's ex-wife, that Grimes, who had that kid who was named a weird name, like X22 or whatever. So Sheeran has some very curious things. I don't know if he wrote that song. I don't know if he did the lyrics or if he's just singing it, but whoever put that together was very clever. And that song was like a number one song in 20 countries. And on YouTube, it has 500 million views. So they're really exposing people to all this occultism, you know?
Yeah, that's great. And I just wonder, like, why do we have to always go there? Why can't we just have wholesome? Why does it always have to devolve into this, as you say, black magic, demonic? Literally, you can see the clips. People are flying like demons through the air as vampires. It's just and video games these days as well. I just notice more and more movies. It's all this, everything has to do with this occult demonic stuff. It's just crazy. Why can't we go back?
It seems like it's infiltrated. Yeah. It's infiltrated our entertainment, our video games, like you said, all these like public displays are like, Super Bowl. There's a lot of weird stuff that goes on in these halftime shows. So it seems like that's just part of the whole initiation into the New World Order is all this stuff. So I think they're really trying to get their ideas across in these videos.
All right. We're going to have to initiate everyone into our break. Again, check out William Ramsey's books and films and podcasts over at WilliamRamseyInvestigates.com. We'll be right back.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
What happens to a person who tweets out that homosexuality is invading the church? Well, if you're 37-year-old Christian theology lecturer Dr. Aaron Edwards at the Methodist-run Cliff College in England, you get fired. According to the Christian Post, Edwards, who has worked there for 7 years, told the Telegraph he was also threatened with a counter-terrorism referral by the school. Here's what he tweeted. Homosexuality is invading the church. Evangelicals no longer see the severity of this because they're busy apologizing for their apparently barbaric homophobia, whether or not it's true. This is a gospel issue, he said. And for that, the father of five got the boot for what the school called misconduct, which had brought the institution into disrepute. He argued that maintaining an evangelical stance was crucial for the institution's student base and heritage. Dr. Edwards is currently considering legal action and appealing his termination with support from Christian Concern. He also set up a crowdfunder where he's asking people to contribute if they wish. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
How often should you wash your hands?
Maybe around 9 times a day.
4? Like 20?
Maybe twice a day.
Whenever they feel dirty.
When should you wash your hands?
After you touch some raw meat.
And before starting to eat.
At the beginning, I wash my hands before preparing food.
How would you rate your knowledge of food safety?
Probably like an 8 out of 10.
6 or 7.
7.5. Like I know the basics, but I'm not necessarily like an expert in it by any means.
Food safety, it's in your hands.
If you're talking about it.
A poem, one today, says, and always one moon like a silent drum tapping at every rooftop and every window on every of every county, countries. Let me start this over again.
We're talking about it. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
It's our final segment with William Ramsey, attorney, author, researcher, podcaster. Check out all of his stuff at WilliamRamseyInvestigates.com. Subscribe to his podcast, which is in the top 0.5% of podcasts, just like my Geopolitics and Empire. Feel free to call in. Happy to chat with you. And have you been, William, paying any attention to U.S. domestic stuff? I mean, I don't take it too seriously, but all this stuff with Trump being arrested and then not, and then all of these fascinating AI photos coming out of him being arrested or him with machine gun taking over the NYPD. What are your thoughts on some of this stuff?
Well, I have been following this kind of infiltration of prosecutorial positions throughout the United States. So a lot of these prosecutors are part of the Democratic Party. They actually really are tied to Soros. Like, it's a conspiracy theory that comes true. But so this guy who was trying to prosecute Trump is one of them. And it's definitely an overreach. I mean, I'm not a huge Trump fan, but it's really a misdemeanor charge they were supposedly thinking about elevating to a felony. But this is like strange things like that are happening in most of the major cities. There's a huge uptick in crime and letting hardcore criminals out. I was just reading about a guy today who got out, killed his parents, and then they let him out and he killed somebody else. That was in Minnesota. But it's happening all over here in California, in LA, and in San Francisco. They got rid of the guy in San Francisco. His name was Chesa Boudin, like super farthest left you could ever imagine. And actually, DeSantis used his governor powers to get rid of one of the Soros prosecutors who wasn't prosecuting people well enough, according to DeSantis in Tampa. He actually got him kicked out, which I think was a smart move. So it's a very interesting, concerning trend in the U.S. is this kind of prosecutorial indiscretions. And I don't think that the left is putting in some of the brightest people. I mean, there's some videos out there of these. There was a guy yesterday, he was asked about a Brady motion. He had no idea, but he'd been on the bench for 4 years. Like, this is 1L law school stuff, like super simple, like Brady. Like, it's like a Miranda. Like, you would know like where Miranda rights came from. It's like Brady is like prosecutors failing to provide exculpatory evidence over. So like, the fact that somebody on the bench didn't know that's really scary. And I think it's indicative of a lot of these positions that are giving away to people who don't have the proper background, intelligence, or credentials. Like, that trend is terrifying.
Where do you see things going on the domestic political front? Next year, elections, and there's been all this talk of second civil war. I don't see that for now, but do you see Trump coming back strong? You know, any further thoughts on the home front?
Yeah, it's going to be very strange. I think that there's a lot of fraud in the voting system here in the States. So if he comes back, I don't know, you know, what's going to happen. But it's the American system is really crumbling. It doesn't look good. So I don't know. Maybe this would be some kind of not an overt civil war, but there's something happening in the U.S. that I never saw before, where it's like the seams are coming apart. So it doesn't look good. So I'm hoping that it doesn't, like, I don't see the people, the kind of like calmer minds popping in to get things settled. So I just don't see it happening. Like, this war in Ukraine, this conflict, proxy war is unnecessary. But you don't see the people like John F. Kennedy who are willing to take a risk and kind of have some kind of detente or lessening of tensions or just stopping. Like, we have so many domestic problems. I just can't even believe we're spending 1 cent over there. So, yeah, I'm not that kind of, you know, positive, optimistic. What about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't. At this point, I don't know what to think. Or I find it's getting harder to extrapolate when it comes to the domestic front. Like, other stuff is easier when it comes, I feel like, foreign policy, multipolarity, like that stuff's easier. Or, you know, the digital technocracy, all of that stuff, I feel is easier to forecast. But at the home front, it's like my crystal ball is not giving me anything, because I feel like it can go in so many ways. Like, we could devolve into a foreign instigated second civil war. Trump could win. there could be chaos, and you know, Trump, maybe he doesn't run, DeSantis wins, or Biden, you know, Biden. Like, I feel like it can go any way. I've got absolutely no idea.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't expect Biden to, you know, come out, Biden Harris. Like, I don't believe they got 81 million votes, so I don't know what the future portends. You know, it's a cloudy crystal ball. Yeah, but I mean, I think there are strange days going on. I think that the chaos, like the river won't clear of all the dirty water. I think it's still going to be there. So I'm not optimistic. I don't see, like I said, I don't see people wanting to, it seems like people, they want to fight. They want to fight each other. And I think that from both sides of the aisle. So I don't see that lessening. I think that's a mistake. Yeah, it's terrible.
And any thoughts then on the state of independent alternative media, podcasting, censorship? I one concern I've had is that, I don't know, sometimes alt media hypes stuff too insanely, but then also I feel strange ideas are seeping in as well. Whatever is interesting for you when it comes to independent media, as well as being able to continue doing what we're doing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that there are some perils. I do think that some of these litigation against, like, Alex Jones for $1 billion, which is outrageous. These were attempts or intended to chill public discourse. And so I think that that's they're trying to say, yo, well, you could be next. So I do think that censorship or outright prosecution is possible. But I do think the independent media is really going to be the savior of the country away from the corporate media, because it's allowing people to hear news stories that are not filtered by corporations or the political parties. I mean, they really just discovered this whole thing about the censorship industrial complex. Like, there were massive censorship efforts. I mean, it's incredible that they're trying to not talk about how serious it is. It's serious as cancer, that there's this huge infrastructure to maintain censorship all throughout the United States. It should embarrass everybody. It's everybody's issue. So how much the independent media can survive. I mean, everybody's moved, like, to Rockfin. I've moved to podcasts. I've got totally censored out of YouTube. So, and Facebook is just, Mark Zuckerberg is evil. So we're never going on Facebook. So the landscape is a Wild West kind of feel, but in some ways that Wild West is positive, much like the Wild West at the beginning of the internet, where there's a lot of people doing a lot of things, and possibly like the Wild West of the crypto community, even though there's a lot of fraud. But, I think that the independent media has to stay sharp, keep their lanterns lit, watch out for infiltrators. There are some out there, and some of these ideas that are infiltrating, yeah, there are dangerous. I mean, what do you think the kind of dangerous ideas that are trying to kind of infiltrate independent media in the States? What do you think?
I guess two things now. Like, you know, last night, when I have dinner or have a meal or something, I'll just throw on double speed. A podcast. I was listening to Mike Adams and Steve Quayle, who I've listened to for many years. But for some, I feel it was disingenuous, because it's like they started talking about, they had this alarmist view, and it's like they've been doing it for 20 years. They're like, we're all going to die tomorrow. Asteroid's going to hit tomorrow. And then they started talking, and then it became really obvious that they were then peddling Steve Quayle's membership. And I'm like, oh, it's basically, it's an infomercial. And it's like, guys, come on. Like, I just stopped listening. I'm like, so that's one thing where it's just become fear porn business. And then the other is, you know, new age ideas that are coming in. So those are my kind of concerns at the moment.
Mine too. Like, I think that those guys really did market themselves as this kind of, you know, with everything, the world's ending, that was their niche. So I think Quayle's been doing that for a long time. He got busted flat out plagiarizing, in my opinion.
Really?
Some books. Like,
I had no idea.
Yeah, Ken and me, Justin, I'll send that to you. I'll send you the link, but he just kept on going. So that's kind of a problem for me. But, you know, I think Mike Adams is a Scientologist. I heard that too, which, you know, for me, is that's basically the new age for me. But people have to watch out. You have to kind of find somebody who's trying to tell you the truth. I think the independent element where people are just trying to get the information out, if people can kind of latch onto those types, you're doing yourself a huge service.
Yeah, and I notice sometimes, because they'll talk and then talk in circles and not say much and say the same old stuff, and then I'm like, not much is, you know, that's kind of a red flag. All right, we're out of time. Where's the best place for people to find you and support you?
Go to William Ramsey Investigates on iTunes. Check it out. My website is williamramseyinvestigates.com. I've covered a lot of different topics that you won't find other places. So check it out.
So thanks for coming back on the program. Hope you come back again. Again, highly recommend William Ramsey Investigates podcast and books and films. And coming right up after me is the Steve Malzberg Show, where he delves into the issues of the day. And stay tuned and listen to Steve. I'm signing off here in Mexico. Be well. Be seeing you.